Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And we are back. We are continuing our journey through the seven deadly sins. Last time we touched base on this, we were slogging it through gluttony.
Knee deep.
Yep. And now we are discussing a little something called greed, which works perfectly because if you're traveling through Dante's Inferno. Yes.
I always have to do it. I'm sorry.
And it makes conversations about Dante's Inferno awkward. But yeah, the third circle of Dante's Inferno is where the gluttonous hang out. And the fourth circle is where the greedy hang out. To be more specific, this is the circle of avarice and prodigality. It's interesting. Dante is really down on greed. It's not like one of these sins like lust, which he has a lot of sympathy for.
Well, because he's human.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he has he has a lot of sympathy for some of the individuals he encounters
needs,
in Inferno. Yeah,
is what I'm getting to.
He has needs,
mm-hmm.
But when he encounters the greedy, it's a lot harsher. He divides it up. You have the prodigal and the more typically miserly greedy. So the prodigal, they're reckless spenders. It's coming in and it's going out twice as fast. I think that's something we can all, if not relate to personally, we definitely witness in the world around us. And then you have the truly greedy, the hoarders and the misers, the ones that take the money, hold the money, that are just in it for the money itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when Dante and his guide, Virgil, show up in Inferno, first of all, they're greeted by Plutus, which is the god of riches, with a little Pluto god of the underworld thrown in because, you know, the underworld, underground, that's where gold and silver come from. And he's bestial, he's full of rage, and he's babbling, and he's saying, Papi Satan Nalipi, which is kind of just, there's a lot of discussion about what in the heck that means.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, Papi Satan sounds a little...
Papi Satan.
Yeah. Gibberish.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, there's a sense like maybe it's something papal, because certainly there's a lot of discussion of sinful popes in Inferno, and then Satan, of course. But this is actually one of the few instances where Satan is actually mentioned, because when you actually encounter the big demon himself,
mm-hmm.
the bottom of Inferno, he's referred to as Lucifer. So anyway, back to these sinners. So you have the spendthrifts and the misers, and they're all, first of all, they're all so shabby that you can't even recognize them. Like, Dante is all like, I'm probably going to look around here. I'm going to know some people that I met and know from life.
And, is that your Italian accent?
Very mildly. Your Italian is much better. And Virgil's like, nah, you're not gonna recognize anybody because everyone's so twisted here from their lives, from their earthly lives, full of greed and overspending, that you're just not going to be able to recognize.
Is that part of the punishment?
It's not as much a part of the punishment. It's just kind of like the reality of the spiritually they're deformed from this life of
greed. They've become grotesque.
Yeah.
Okay.
The punishment itself is that they have their, it's kind of a joust between the spendthrifts and the greedy. Except instead of having swords or spears or any kind of typical jousting equipment, they are rolling large objects against each other using only their chests. And if you look at the illustrations provided by Gustave Doré, the large objects that they're jousting with are giant money bags. So if you imagine these hideous looking, naked people, and they're all sort of pushing big money bags, rolling them around with their chest into each other, and arguing with each other, and calling each other's other names. And so there are no demons staffed here to punish these guys. They provide their own punishment to each other.
Okay, so it's like a scene from Eyes Wide Shut.
Well, no.
No. Well, you know what? Okay, maybe more accessible is the illustration that you sent me, and it showed a lucky cat atop a mountain, and the mountain was, there was a little trail going to the very top where the lucky cat is perched, and there's mice with big hunks of cheese weighing them down as they bring it to the lucky cat.
Yes. I will link to this in the blog post that goes with this podcast in case you're interested in seeing that. But there are many artistic interpretations. Now, if one goes into Dante's Purgatory, and this, again, is the mountain that connects Earth to the to heaven and
that
the earthly paradise.
That lucky cat sits on.
Well, you're complicating the matter with lucky cat at this point. There's no lucky cat in this thing.
Okay.
It's just a mountain.
If you say so.
That connects Earth and hell beneath it to the heavens above. And if you travel up the mountain, each terrace purges you of a sin so that you'll be clean enough to enter heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So the fifth terrace is where you would purge yourself of all this greed. And you do it by lying face down on a hard rock floor, weeping and praying until the greed has washed away from you.
That's your punishment?
Yeah, it's kind of... Oh, it's not a punishment, remember. It's a cleansing. It's
okay.
Penance.
Well, it seems kind of weak sauce.
It is kind of weak sauce. I don't know. Maybe Dante just wasn't bringing his A game when thinking about greed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really down on it, but it's not like they're boiling rivers of blood and feces. They're just dudes in hell pushing bags of money against each other, and hear a lot of people praying.
Or the eyes being sewn shut, as in with envy, right? That was one of the punishments.
Yeah. And there's some ghastlier ones ahead. But let's look to Buddhism real quick, again, before we get into the real science of all this. In Buddhism, greed, along with delusion/ignorance and hate, is one of the three poisons at the heart of all suffering. So if you look at the center of the Tibetan Wheel of Life, the Wheel of Samsara, which we have an excellent interactive illustration of in the How Stuff Works article, How Sky Burial Works, if you look at the center of this wheel, you'll find three animals, a pig, a cock, and a snake. And they are all biting each other's tails, forming a ring. And each of these three animals represents one of the three poisons. The snake is hate, the pig is delusion or ignorance, you see it referred to as either, and then the cock represents greed. It's interesting how in Tibetan Buddhism, greed is very central to everything that is wrong with life here on Earth. And just as a side note, some people are really into crazy burgers. I think it would be fascinating if someone were to concoct a burger that contains three meats: snake meat, pig meat, and rooster meat. And then you could have it be the three poison burger, or the burger that is the root of all suffering.
Well, isn't there already the turducken?
It's kind of like the turducken, except it's responsible for all of man's woes.
Ah, okay, yeah. So it's more of a symbolic.
Yeah, and it'd probably be a pretty heavy lunch, too.
So yeah,
I'm just throwing that out there if anyone wants to create such a blasphemy.
Or if next Thanksgiving when that rolls around, you can take your turducken, which is a turkey, chicken, and duck all rolled together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can offer it up as a way to consume the sins of the past year.
Yeah, yeah,
because I think that would go over really well at Thanksgiving table.
Yeah.
You know? People don't think about that.
So that's kind of there's the religious introduction. And both of these examples are very down on the idea of greed, that it is this poisonous thing. It is this awful thing that distorts the soul and renders us unrecognizable in the afterlife, that is responsible for all of this pain around us. But then there's another way of looking at it, right? More of a modern view, right? A more materialistic view.
Are you talking about Gordon Gekko?
Yes. Read from us from the book of Gekko.
All right. Gordon Gekko, the character in Wall Street. We're talking high 80s here, 1987.
Yes.
And I don't know if I can do a Michael Douglas voice. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, greed is good. Greed works. Greed is right. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all of its forms, greed for life, money, love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge in mankind. And greed, mark my words, will save not only Teldar Paper, but the other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Greed also fights stains.
That's right. I've got a greed stick at home. But yeah, I mean, this is an idea that isn't too far away from reality in certain eras of our existence. Certainly in the 1980s, you know, accumulation of wealth is something that a lot of people are concentrating on. And there is this idea that greed is this sort of evolutionary birthright that we can't evolve without continuing to amass more and more and sort of step over each other in order to get to it.
Yeah, I mean, and you can go with the classic argument that stuff like envy and greed, these are the motivating forces of ambition. And we need ambition in life. Like, on some level, greed maybe is good because I need things to live, right? I need a little money, and a little more is maybe even a little better. So I should want those things, right?
Yeah, but it's the excess part, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this guy named Andrew Lowe, and he is the Harris & Harris Group professor at MIT and the director of its laboratory for financial engineering. And in a 2009 interview with Freakonomics, he commented on the unprecedented era of wealth just recently that we have, right? And he said that, quote, extended periods of prosperity act as an anesthetic in the human brain. Okay, so that's here's one reason why greed isn't so grand, right? Essentially, he's saying that all of us who were trading in on the real estate-based financial bubble were in a, quote, drug-induced stupor that causes us to take risks that we know we should avoid. And he's saying, basically, that monetary gain, and we've seen this before, certainly in the laboratory, is it stimulates the same reward circuitry as cocaine. And in both cases, again, we've talked about this all, you know, over and over in terms of the sins, dopamine is released into the nucleus accumbens. And then the opposite of this is mm-hmm. really interesting, financial loss activates the same fight or flight circuitry as physical attacks, releasing adrenaline and cortisol in the bloodstream. So, I mean, here you have different sides of the coin, but certainly you've got dopamine and you've got adrenaline on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is tied to finance.
Okay, so it's kind of like, again, using the drug example, a young man takes cocaine and then writes a really horrible song or is really into an idea that is just dreadful.
Uh-huh.
Likewise, the young man who has financial success for a short amount of time, during that success, everything's so great, he decides, I'm going to buy a sailboat. Right?
Right.
That
I
kind
mean,
of thing.
I'm
going to blow my money on this. I'm going to spend it on this. I'm going to do this because things are great. This couldn't possibly wear off. And of course, both individuals quickly find that the sensation does wear off.
Right. I mean, basically, this is deadening that part of your brain that, well, I mean, no, not literally deadening it, but certainly the part of your brain that is thinking about the long term is now mm-hmm. offline. And, you know, your short term brain is like, hey, do whatever. Like you said, let's go buy a boat. Sounds like a great idea. So it would make sense that in terms of economics, there's something happening in the brain that really feeds into greed.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible.
Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so this question comes up. All right, greed. Everybody is greedy to some extent or another, right? But who could be the greediest jerks out there? Is there a natural answer to that question?
Who could be, or who?
Who might be?
Who might be?
Who might be?
Like, who out there in the world is the greediest jerk?
Yeah.
Well, one would. I mean, if you're going with the stereotype, you're looking at people like your Gordon Geckos, mm-hmm. like your Scrooge McDucks. A lot, you know, the individuals that have so much, it's an addiction, you know, like the money unto itself is an addiction.
Okay. So yeah. Bingo, wealth corrupting,
yes.
Right? And you're right. This is, you know, somewhat of a cliche, but there are some scientists who decided to put this to the test, or rather psychologist Paul Piff of the University of California at Berkeley. He conducted seven different scenarios, really, testing out socioeconomic levels and ethics, mm-hmm. wondering if indeed wealth corrupts. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of them because I think that they're interesting. But I should point out that all seven scenarios, the overwhelming evidence is that people with higher socioeconomic levels tend to have dodgy ethics. Or that, okay. That was the conclusion that was drawn from this. There was a study in which Piff and his team monitored traffic at a four-way stop in San Francisco, and they noted all the makes and the models of automobiles, because that's a really good indicator of your socioeconomic level usually, right?
Right.
So guess who more often than not cut the other drivers off?
The fancy cars.
Fancy cars. I mean, overwhelmingly. Okay. So then there's another study that they did, and this was they had test takers asked to imagine themselves being very rich or very poor, and then given an opportunity to take candy from a jar that would next be delivered to children in another lab. So, like, really, like, taking candy from a baby, right?
See, all I can think of is the Simpsons episode where Well, of course, Mr. Burns is another, I mean, if not one of the classic examples of the stereotypically rich, miserly, awful person who's been totally corrupted by wealth. But there's an episode, of course, where he actually steals or attempts to steal candy from a baby.
Well, right, there you go. Yeah. He in this study certainly would have borne out the results. But so again, here you see the people who are imagining themselves as very rich somehow distancing themselves from their action and saying and taking actually more candy than the other people who imagine themselves as very poor.
Mm-hmm.
And again, seven of these different scenarios, and you'd have to have many more studies in order to have more conclusive data on this, I think. But I think at least it gives us an idea of the direction of what happens when you are exposed to extreme wealth and the sort of distancing that you experience.
You know, I'm not sure the lab full of babies or children actually need that candy, though.
I mean, well, I have to say, I thought that, too, because I thought, well, I might be like, hey, you know what? Those Tootsie Rolls, that kid doesn't need it. Nobody knows to go to the dentist. And
what kind of candy is it? Because
expensive.
there's candy and there's candy. Like if it's like dental
candy
office
corn?
Bank suckers or candy corn, then by all means let the children have it. But if it's upscale candy that's clearly designed for a more sophisticated adult palate, then I'm not sure taking it is really the bad thing.
I agree. There's this evolutionary psychologist, and he's a consumer researcher, and his name is Vladas Griskovicius of the University of Minnesota. And he says this work is important because it suggests that people often act unethically not because they are desperate and in the dumps, but because they feel entitled and they want to get ahead.
Okay.
So that
well,
could be
that's
a valid
exactly
point.
What I just did. I laid out my entitlement for the fancy candy. This candy would be lost on these children, and therefore, I'm doing them a favor because they don't need it, and B, I am the intended audience for this candy. So, I've already rationalized stealing candy from a baby. It's a great day in my life.
You know what? All your gold rings with your diamonds were kind of shining pretty brightly. Can you kind of just take a couple off there? Mr. Moneybags. Okay, so what is the opposite of greed? Well, not necessarily opposite, but a reaction that you might have to greed.
Revulsion?
Revulsion, a sense of injustice, right?
Yeah, because we were discussing this the other day. Like there's something particularly foul about greed, especially when pretty much only when we glimpse it in others, because when we glimpse it in ourselves, we tend to, like everything else, we tend to find more enlightened ways of understanding it or lying to ourselves about it, you know? But when you see greed in another person, it's like, I mean, it all boils down to money, right? And money on a very crucial level is not real. Like, even when you're dealing with like gold coins, it's all ultimately kind of arbitrary. I mean, yes, there's a great deal of numbers and mathematics backing it up, but none of it is real, you know? And then when we raise that, this abstract thing, this unreal thing above everything else that is real in life. When we place this made up money above the heads of very real people, it's terrifying and awful and absurd, right?
Well, when the fantasy of this becomes grotesque and you can't really see the reality around you, right? I mean, it clouds your vision of your ability to actually accurately sense what's going on around you. When I think you know, you make decisions that perhaps in other people. It creates a sense of disgust.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you become this person who is a caricature of yourself to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called the ultimatum game, and it's interesting. The premise is, okay, I have $10 that I can share with you, Robert Lamb.
Okay, $10.
Any way I choose.
Okay.
Okay. If you accept my offer, then we both keep my proposed shares. If you reject my offer, neither of us sees any of the money.
Oh, wait, now what's the offer?
Okay, I have $10. I will give you a quarter.
A quarter of the money or just a
quarter?
No,
25 cents.
Okay. And what do I have to do?
Do you mean you can take it or you can leave it?
Well, in that case, I would take it because 25 cents is better than no money, right?
You are so rational, but most people would actually reject it.
Huh.
Yeah, because you would think, like, the rational thing to do is to say, like, you know, sure, now we're both richer for this, right? But there's a sense of injustice going on. Like someone might think that's not really
like
fair.
Why are you keeping $9.75 and I'm getting 25 cents?
Right.
But I didn't do anything to earn it. You have $10. You're giving me 25 cents, and if you give me that 25 cents, I'm halfway to getting something out of the office snack machine. All I have to do is find one more quarter, and I'm going to be rolling in granola bar.
Okay. Well, if you were a normal flawed person,
okay,
you would say, no, I'm going to penalize you for your stinginess. No, I'm not going to, like, neither of us are going to get anything, right?
Yeah. Really? That's weird, huh?
Yeah. So even
I mean, it's understandable. I can totally get it.
But. Yeah, like I have, and it is, in a way, if you think about it, it's sort of a power structure, right? Because if that person has the money, mm-hmm, and they're offering it to you, how do you get your power back if you have nothing, if you don't have really any choice in the matter?
Right. So I guess I could conceivably make the argument, well, why don't you, you're keeping $9.75. Why don't you just give me one quarter more and then I can go ahead and get that granola bar? Instead, I'm tempted. I'm here with half a granola bar,
uh-huh,
basically, that I can't eat.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know what you're going to get for 25 cents, honestly.
Yeah, not much.
Yeah, you start to think about that. And what happens in your brain? The anterior insula starts to get activated, and this is the area associated with negative emotions. Hmm. And this has been seen by Jonathan Cohen. He's a Princeton neuroscientist. The interesting thing is that when you up the amount of money, like for instance, if I said I have $23 and I'm going to give you $8, mm-hmm, then you start to see people go, oh, okay, well that's a little bit fairer. And the part of the brain, the anterior insula actually starts to die down a little bit, hmm, in terms of activity as a way to tamp down this and say, okay, let's start to be rational about this because now the stakes are getting a little bit higher. There's a little bit more money here. And it really, I think, is very telling on how we make some of our decisions.
Huh. So this is definitely the part of the brain that's lighting up when you've just had a dinner with some friends at a restaurant and you have to figure out how the bill works. Or even when, like, far before the bill comes, say when the guacamole comes out or the pizza is placed on the table,
mm-hmm,
and food has to be divvied up. I can see that kicking in, because you're wondering about how things are going to be distributed and parsed out, and then how are they going to be paid for? Like, even if you're not like a stingy kind of person who's counting the slices of pizza, mm-hmm, as they leave the table, like your brain can't help but sort of think in those terms, right?
Well, and they've seen this in babies. They've seen this in primates too, mm-hmm, that there's a sense of injustice, study after study, that people are mentally taking notes on what is being parsed out at that, mm-hmm, time.
Well, because, I mean, we have to live in a community. We have to live in some sort of a group. Be it a primitive group that is just crawling through the grasses in prehistoric times, or a community of people who are trying to figure out how in the heck they're going to do the tip with a Groupon discount at a restaurant, right?
Yeah, that's just a recipe for disaster right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Groupon thing. Not to say that I haven't taken advantage of it. It's great. But yes, you have to come to some sort of point of cooperation. And like you said, that's what really makes a society. That's the glue of it. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about why greed sometimes turns us into a bunch of donut-seeking Homer Simpsons.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Why did donuts distract Homer Simpson? Why is Homer Simpson obsessed with donuts? If we had to boil this down to a single, oh, I don't know, brain hormone, what would it be?
Delicious dopamine.
Exactly. Just the mere thought of the donut can result in dopamine release. Just the anticipation of rewarding yourself with those delicious calories.
I have to say, I think I might be salivating a little bit right now.
Yeah, I'm picturing the, I don't even really eat donuts, but I'm picturing that Simpsons donut with the pink icing
sprinkles.
And the sprinkles, yeah. Dopamine keeps popping up in these podcasts we're doing. I mean, dopamine pops up a lot because it's anytime we're trying to figure out neurologically why we do the things we do, because dopamine is the reward juice. And a lot of the things we do are about releasing that chemical, about achieving the reward. Our life is kind of this game. And when we actually hit the points where we get the achievements, we get the dopamine.
That's right.
It's not surprising that it would show up here. It seems to have shown up in all the other sins. And it's one of these things that we learned to game a long time ago. Primitive man kind of figured out what was going on with the dopamine and figured out, hey, I can actually cheat and get all the dopamine I want, right? So we end up with this whole legacy of bad habits and addictions and sins. If you will. And greed seems to play especially well with dopamine because it's tied up in three of the big needs that we have in life. The needs for safety, the need for approval, and the need for esteem, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need safety because we want to survive. We need approval because we want to live in a community. And we need esteem because we want to rise up in that community. And money, as it happens, can pretty much buy any of those things. You have
right.
enough money, you can buy safety for yourself. You want to be approved of? You can buy the right clothing. You can buy the right lifestyle to do that. And if you want esteem, as pretty much any, say, presidential election or any kind of political candidate illustrates, you can buy that if you have enough money and enough will to invest in it. So money is the ultimate dopamine inducer. If money in and of itself doesn't fuel the dopamine, then it can buy something that will.
Which makes sense, again, why people would be chasing that high with wealth or greed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it actually plays into something that has been called the Scrabble strategy before.
Okay.
And again, we're talking about the short term versus the long term. And the Scrabble strategy is actually called the greedy algorithm. And
okay.
this is a computational mathematics term. And basically, it says that you can do well by making whichever move seems best at that moment and not worrying too much about future consequences. And in mathematics, the greedy algorithm builds up a solution piece by piece, always choosing the next piece that offers the most obvious and immediate benefit. So for us, right, that would translate to dopamine, ding, ding, ding.
Okay, so in the Scrabble scenario, the idea here is that I get a high number value tile, like an X or a Z or something. I'm better off holding on to it, but instead I play it immediately, right?
Yeah, because, okay. I mean, that
I'm not playing the long game.
Right. It's not like chess where you have to really consider, you know, three moves ahead. You just have to, in Scrabble, it really is like whatever you have right in front of you at that very moment, you have to play. And you'll benefit from that strategy. So, you know, that's what greed sort of falls into, is this greedy algorithm. Although the greedy algorithm obviously isn't sustainable, because at some point you have to, you know, inhabit your future brain.
Right.
And start thinking about the consequences.
Yeah. And I guess with human lives, the problem is that by the time you start realizing you need to play the long game, there's not, in many cases, there's not that much game left. I don't know. You tend to see that a lot. I mean, it's like we said earlier, it's like people end up not caring during the rich years, during the bountiful years. Which are they? They're the grasshopper, right? The grasshopper and the ant.
That sounds right.
Yeah, because the grasshopper.
Salad days, halcyon.
Yeah, the ant in the fable, right, is piling away for the coming winter. And the grasshopper is like, woo, I'm having a great time. And then it gets cold and the ant's like, I'm set. And the grasshopper dies. It's kind of a bummer of a story.
Or from Citizen Kane, your rosebud. You've lost your rosebud.
I don't know
what,
if that actually...
I can't leap to that logic?
I don't know if that actually plays in all that well. But
I don't know. He was chasing after greed.
Yeah. Well, he was. He was. He is another iconic greedy character. But yeah, when we're in the midst of the plenty, we're not thinking about the long game. And it's easier to think about the long game when there's not that much game left. I don't know if I'm making sense on that.
No, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. If you are obsessed your whole life with chasing after the precious... Mm-hmm. And trying to do battle with the sneaky little hobbitses for the precious.
Well, the precious was pretty awesome. It was one of the rings of power. So, I mean, you kind of have to side with Gollum on that one.
I know, but the point is that you could waste your entire life, you know, obsessing over the precious.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Then you no longer have a life. You just have a shiny object.
He did get to travel pretty well, and he lived a long life.
So I don't know. What's going on here, Robert Lamb?
I'm just saying, you know.
The greedy gut is coming out.
Don't, you know, hate on Smeagol too much because, you know, he got to see the world of Middle Earth. And, you know, he dies by falling into a volcano, which is something I kind of want for myself. So he had a good run.
Okay, so we are revealing something about you right now and your affinity for Smeagol.
Like, imagine if your obituary said something like, Robert Lamb passed away today when he fell into Mount Doom. Like, that's pretty, awesome.
After chasing absolute power.
well, that makes it sound kind of sad, I guess. Sorry. Yeah, you got a point.
All right, let's bring over our greedy robot over there.
Oh, we're done?
Oh, I don't know. Are we?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, that's pretty... We were discussing... earlier, like the research into greed doesn't go quite as deep as some of the other ones we've talked about.
Yeah, I was thinking about Dante. I was like, yeah, of course he's like, this is awful, this is bad.
It's awful, but it's bad, but I'm not really going to devote a lot of time to it.
Yeah. Same thing with researchers so far.
I mean, I guess a lot of it's kind of surface level. It comes down to we want money because money makes a lot of things possible. It allows us to have safety. It allows us to eat, to have shelter. It allows us to move through life. So, of course, we want it. And like with all the sins we've looked at, there's like a tipping point between like a normal level of wanting money and an unbalanced level.
You know what I think would be interesting is some research on the super wealthy and wondering whether or not if you reach a certain point of wealth that you become more altruistic and you actually become more ethical.
That isn't because a number of billionaires have taken that pledge to donate a large portion of their wealth to charities. And there are, for every, you know, miserly Scrooge McDuck type individual in the world, you can generally think of someone else who is using their fortune or at least a large portion of their fortune to try and do good things.
Mm-hmm. And not just as a tax write-off.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would like to see more numbers on that for sure. Because there are certainly some individuals that really make a case for the old adage, money corrupts and money's the root of all evil. But then there are some individuals who seem to stand apart from that and really give us a little hope.
Yeah, and some people who I'm sure are at four-way stop and they're driving a luxury car, that actually they're not jerks. I don't know.
Yeah. Let me get the let Dante have the last word on this, though, because there's a lovely little line. And this is, of course, translated from the Italian. And then, and this is Virgil talking to Dante. He says, "Now you can see, my son, the brief mockery of the goods that are committed to fortune, for which the human race so squabbles. For all the gold that is under the moon and that ever was could not give rest to even one of these weary souls." He says that as they're looking at the tortured in hell. So there you go.
All right.
All right, now let's call over the robot. Come over here, Arnie, and bring us our basket of golden mail.
Clink, clink, clink.
All right, well, here's one related here's one related to one of our sin podcasts. Darlene writes in about our gluttony episode. "Dear Robert and Julie, as someone who very recently went through gastric bypass surgery, I was obviously very interested in your gluttony podcast. Here's a personal perspective that may interest you. I have always been someone who suffered from extreme gnawing hunger. In fact, my stomach would growl so loudly my dogs would bark at it. A small amount of food would not mitigate the pain, not pangs, but genuine pain of that hunger. Combine this with an extremely slow metabolism, and you have a perfect recipe for obesity. In the months of study and research prior to my gastric bypass surgery, I read that the hunger hormone, ghrelin, becomes suppressed following surgery. I didn't really understand or believe it, but now about 6 weeks post-surgery, I can confirm this is absolutely true. Like those twin women who always irritated me with their, 'Oh dear, I forgot to eat today,' I find that I don't eat on a specific schedule. I, too, forget all about food. It's a lot easier to lose weight when you are never hungry. I understand that pharmaceutical researchers have been on the trail of ghrelin suppressor for years, but still haven't been able to nail it. So, be kind to the overweight, obese, and those who may appear gluttonous. They may have physical issues that aren't obvious. Thanks, Darlene." So, yeah, we, you know, touched on the, more than touched, I think we definitely tried to stress in the gluttony podcast that there's a lot more going on with, certainly with obesity and issues of just, you know, ravenous hunger than, and, oh, I like food and I want to eat a lot of it. Like,
right.
It's a lot more complicated than that. There's stuff going on at, you know, genetic level. And that true gluttony, it certainly as far as, like, competitive eating goes, mm-hmm. really stands apart from issues of body weight.
Yeah, well, one of the things we didn't get into is something called FTO, which is a gene variant that is often seen in obese people. And this is actually responsible for this biologically altered state, much like what she just talked about in terms of regulating hunger. So, you know, unfortunately, there's actually a lot of stuff about gluttony and diets and all sorts of stuff that we couldn't get to in that podcast. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to hear from her and to be able to sort of address that right now, at least.
Oh, well, here's another email from a listener by the name of Desilu. And Desilu wrote in to share some thoughts on the Don't Eat the Panda episode, but also mentioned that they found the Cubed Earth episode very inspiring, and they wanted to create an RPG role-playing game module about it. They say, "Think Star Trek, where Earthlings come from different sides of the cube. Woohoo, so amped to write it." So I thought that was awesome. Anytime our podcast can inspire people, I am all into it. Here's a quick email from a listener by the name of Carlos. Carlos says, "After listening to your Rat King podcast, I came to the realization that Magneton," and this is apparently a Pokemon character,
mm-hmm.
"the evolved form of Magnetite is essentially a Rat King. I linked some pictures, don't worry." Carlos also mentions that if I enjoyed playing Team Fortress back in college, I should be happy to know that there's something called Team Fortress 2. So I will have to check that out, or maybe I shouldn't. The Pokemon thing was interesting. I looked at the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite understand it, but it looked
cool. Kind of adorable, though.
Yeah. And then finally, here is one from a listener by the name of Maricela. And Maricela writes in and says, "Hey!" Exclamation point. "I'm sure this has happened to you guys. In my head, as I listen to you, I make a perfect picture of you as my imagination dictates according to the tone or depth of your voice. The little changes when you're about to say something sarcastic or even a joke. Or at least I used to, until I saw the Facebook profile picture," which of course is that, just look up Stuff to Blow Your Mind on Facebook, add us, and, it will enrich your life. Maricela goes on to say, "I gotta say, Robert, you're close to what I had in mind. Or is it the other way around? But I so totally pictured a blonde Julie. Don't know why, it just happened. And now, whenever I'm listening to the two of you, it's so funny to think about it, I just start laughing. Great work with the podcast. The awesome dynamics between you two really transcends the mics and makes me learn something new every time. Cheers." Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you have a doppelganger in Athens, Georgia, that is a blonde, Julie?
I musician? Did it one time. Okay. Yeah, and also I
did
was...
Did it one time? Did you slay her?
I don't know if she's still there.
Okay.
But I was blonde until I was 12, you know, for what it's worth. So you're right to some degree.
Okay.
Yeah. And my daughter is, like, very Nordic looking and blonde. So, I don't know. You're picking up on something there.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yes, I'm a brunette. A proud brunette.
Okay. But I still think there's something with the doppelganger. Or I thought there...
So, are you saying that, like... I am the doppelganger, and I'm wearing a wig right now. And then when I leave the studio, I take my wig off, and I'm blonde.
Maybe I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're the doppelganger. You replace the actual Julie a long
no,
time ago.
No, you're completely wrong. That I don't. You shouldn't even think that. There's no logic there. Don't pursue that line of logic anymore. Okay.
Okay.
There's
good enough. Good
right?
enough for me.
Okay. Seriously, I am Julie. Okay.
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 Well. Well, if you would like to interact with me or Julie or potentially Julie's doppelganger, you can find us on
Hello.
Facebook and Twitter. Again, on Facebook, we're Stuff to Blow the Mind. Find us on there. Like us. Follow the feed. We update it with all sorts of cool stuff about current and upcoming episodes. You know, we'd love to get feedback from you guys as well. On Twitter, you will find us under the handle Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.